Shalom, and thank you for listening at BethEmmanuel.org. If you're not currently affiliated with a community, church, or synagogue and would like to be part of the larger Beth Emmanuel family, you can apply for long-distance membership at BethEmmanuel.org/membership.
I used to have a job in a kosher meat market that served the Lubavitch community in St. Paul, and I once overheard an interesting conversation. In that particular year, several of the Hebrew Roots groups and Messianic synagogues in the Twin Cities area had cooperated together to rent the St. Paul Civic Center for a major Shavuot event. They were bringing in some big-name speakers and musicians and putting a lot of money and promotion behind the event. At the time, I was not part of a Messianic community. I was instead attending Church of the Open Door. I had more or less washed my hands of the Messianic Jewish movement because, to me, it seemed like the movement would have been more aptly named Messianic Pentecostalism than Messianic Judaism. It really did have a lot more in common with Pentecostalism than Judaism. So it wasn't surprising that local communities had decided to put on a joint Pentecost celebration. It was a Thursday afternoon, our busiest day, because that's when everyone did their Shabbat shopping. A certain famous rabbi was in the store doing some shopping, picking up some groceries for his family. Another member of the community said to him, "Rabbi, did you hear what the Messianics are doing now? They're putting on a big Shavuos. They're putting on a big Shavuos rally at the Civic Center and advertising it all over town." The rabbi took this under consideration and then replied with his characteristic wit, "Good. Maybe they'll put Shavuos back on the map." His point was that in broader Judaism, Shavuot does not get the love and attention that Pesach and Sukkot receive. It's treated more like a minor festival. But it's not supposed to be a minor festival at all. It's supposed to be a major festival, one of the big three, on the same level and scope as Pesach and Sukkot. Maybe it's because it lasts only one day, whereas Pesach and Sukkot are week-long festivals. It has no days of Chol HaMoed. Maybe it's because Pesach and Sukkot have more mitzvot. Pesach has the Seder and the Chametz prohibitions. Sukkot has the Sukkah. But what does Shavuot get? Whatever the case may be, Shavuot is an easily forgotten and neglected festival in the broader Jewish world. It easily falls off the map, so to speak. Not so in Messianic Judaism. In Messianic Judaism, the events that took place in Acts 2, the outpouring of the Spirit, placed Shavuot firmly on the map. Shavuot has enormous significance for disciples of Yeshua. In subsequent years, the local communities made a few attempts to put something like that together again, but they never pulled it off on the same grand scale. One year, we joined the other communities at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds for a Shavuot event and tried to show off our stuff, waving our synagogue service around. I don't think the other Messianic communities were too impressed. Shavuot is precious to disciples of Yeshua, so much so that when First Fruits of Zion proposed starting an annual conference, I lobbied for choosing Shavuot. The first one was conducted at a camp in the Poconos in Pennsylvania. The year after that, the event moved to Hudson, and, as you know, we conducted those annual pilgrimage conferences here in beautiful historic Hudson, Wisconsin for more than a decade. Even in years when First Fruits of Zion has not conducted a Shavuot conference in Hudson, Beth Emmanuel has nevertheless hosted the festival and invited brothers and sisters to make the pilgrimage to Hudson to celebrate with us. We had a lot of great Shavuot conferences, and a lot of the critical teachings of the ministry emerged through the annual Shavuot conferences. We made a lot of friends through Shavuot conferences. One year, we had Joe Good teach about the temple. Through the Shavuot conferences, we met a lot of people who have subsequently become members of our community, some of you relocating to come home to Hudson. Last year, First Fruits of Zion did not conduct a Shavuot conference, but we hosted the event anyway under the title King David's Birthday. It was a lot more relaxed than the big national event, but we had almost as many guests crammed into the building. I think of those hot, miserable Shavuot conferences, in the sweltering heat of the sanctuary, with no air conditioning, session after session of teachings, huge banquet meals, delicious little cheesecakes, all-night Torah studies, ice cream socials, kids programs, games, cookouts. There was music, a Troy Mitchell concert. In 2010, Chris and Megan Wallace put together a classy choral performance for us. We had Roman and Elena one year. I don't know who else might have guest starred. We had various teachers and rabbis from the Messianic Jewish movement join us. Then there was the magnificent davening, the epic Hallel that can only happen when the synagogue is crammed with people and an electric spiritual energy. Jose always brings flowers to decorate the sanctuary, and the little girls wear floral wreaths. That was Shavuot at Beth Emanuel. My kids grew up at Shavuot conferences. They look forward all year long to seeing friends that they only saw this once a year. For them, there was no Camp Tzadi, and the Shavuot conference was it. I remember once when we were discussing moving the event elsewhere, my daughter objected, "Please don't. It's the thing I most look forward to all year." In a small community like ours, a community of 120 people or so, there's usually plenty of seating. It's often not so much a matter of choosing one's seat in the synagogue as it is of choosing one's pew. You can have a whole pew to yourself, but not at Shavuot. At Shavuot, we have 250 people join us, and suddenly there is no seating available, and people are standing, and we are crammed together in tight quarters, whether in the sanctuary or downstairs in the fellowship room or in the Bible studies. That's Shavuot at Beth Emanuel. We do our best to put Shavuot back on the map. Only a few years ago, I learned that Avram Polyak's Patmos community also conducted annual Shavuot gatherings where hundreds and hundreds of disciples in the Kingdom Brotherhood converged on that little tiny Messianic community in Mutlingen, Germany, to swell its population to thousands. What an amazing coincidence, which is to say, it's not a coincidence at all. He put Shavuot back on the map. Last February, when I saw what was happening in Wuhan, I knew there would be no Shavuot conference at Beth Emanuel this year. Instead of a synagogue packed out and over the fire marshal's limit, there will be an empty hall and empty pews. There will be no tent in the parking lot, no privies in the Mitchell's driveway. There will be no cooks in the kitchen, no line of 16 children waiting for their turn at the basketball hoop. But despite the plague and the requisite social distancing, coronavirus has not knocked Shavuot off the map. It's still on the map. The first day of Shavuot begins this Thursday night, May 28. Nothing prevents you from celebrating the festival. To celebrate Shavuot at home, you need to be prepared for a double Shabbat. Since Shavuot lands on a Friday this year, that means the second day of Shavuot is Shabbat. So in other words, everyone is doubling Shavuot this year, so you will need to plan ahead. You cannot begin Shavuot early either. You have to wait until dark before you can say Mariv or eat your festival meal. Why? Because the Bible requires us to celebrate Shavuot after the full 49 days of the Omer have elapsed. So you have to wait for that last one, the 49th day, to have ended before the festival can begin. And this explains why our Shavuot meals are so late at night, typically starting around 9:30 p.m. or even later. The Yom Tov meal on Thursday night should include the festival Kiddush to declare the holiday sacred. You don't need to stay up studying Torah all night, but you can if you want. Friday morning, you should pray the festival prayer service, including festival Amidah for Shachrit, the Hallel, and the festival Musaf. The same applies to Saturday morning. There are special Torah readings and Haftarah readings for the holiday, of course, and on Saturday, the second day of Shavuot, we also read the Book of Ruth. From the New Testament, we read Acts chapter 2 over the course of 2 days of the festival. On the first day of the festival, we read Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. And on the second day, which is King David's birthday and his Yahrzeit, we finish the chapter. In the second half of the chapter, Peter makes reference to King David's death. People are asking me how long this will last and how long it will be until we can go back to normal. The answer is similar to what it says in Psalm 74, 8 and 9. They burned all the meeting places of God in the land. We do not see our signs. There is no longer any prophet. There is none among us who knows how long. That's the real answer. There is none among us who knows how long. But Beth Emanuel is more than the assembly or the synagogue service. We have not been shut down. We are a community and a spiritual family, not just a synagogue service. I think most of you already know that. I think that's one reason we have so much of a loitering problem. You know that the real Beth Emanuel is not a liturgy or a Saturday morning ceremony, nor is it a teaching from the pastor. It's not the Torah scroll or the reading from the Torah, and it's not the privilege of praying together in a room. Beth Emanuel is a people united by a common vision for the revelation of the kingdom and a common allegiance to Yeshua of Nazareth, the Jewish Jesus, his person, and his teachings. We are brothers and sisters in that we are all sons and daughters of one Father, our Father in heaven, and we all share one faith, the faith of our spiritual father Abraham. That's where your loyalty should lie. The apostles compared the disciples of Yeshua to a flock, to a building, to a body, and to a bride. All four analogies have relevance to Shavuot and to our situation today. Before Moses led Israel to Mount Sinai to receive the Torah, he led the flock of Jethro to Mount Sinai, where he encountered the burning bush, the fire that did not consume the bush. The flock follows the shepherd. Without a shepherd, the flock is scattered. I think a lot of churches are starting to worry that their flocks are going to scatter. A lot of churches are worried that when they reopen, the people will no longer attend regularly because the virus has given them an excuse. They will no longer suffer the social scrutiny of not showing up for the weekly service, and they will drift away. That might happen to us too, but not if you are following the shepherd. If the synagogue services are the reason for your participation in Beth Emanuel, you are here for the wrong reason. But if you're here because you're following the shepherd, you're here for the right reason. The apostles compare us to a building, that is, a spiritual temple being built together on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Yeshua the Messiah being the chief cornerstone. In this analogy, the people themselves are the sanctuary, a living temple of the Holy Spirit. Every stone of the temple is sacred. Every stone is important. There are different pieces with different functions inside the building, different stones set in different places, but it's all one building. And every stone is equally important. The whole thing is built together. It's true that for the present time, we are unable to assemble in the building at 828 3rd Street, but according to the spiritual reality, we are the building. Whether we are together or apart, we are spiritually connected together, interconnected and praying for one another. We are a spiritual temple of Hashem. There is no unimportant member of Beth Emanuel, of the Beth Emanuel community. The apostles compare us to a body, one new man, each member being compared, as it were, to a different member of the body of Messiah, Yeshua himself as the head of the body. There are no unimportant members of the body. There are different roles to play, but there is no jealousy within the human body. The hand is not a foot, the eye is not an ear, but we are all critical to the function of the whole. The outpouring of the Spirit of God on the disciples of Yeshua in Acts 2 corresponds to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the body of the Master at the time of his immersion. The Spirit descended in a rushing wind like a dove and rested upon the body of Yeshua at the Jordan River. And then again, it happened in the temple in Acts 2. As individuals, we are not spiritual giants, and each one of us may have only a small portion of the Spirit of God, but together, we combine as the body of Messiah, possessing the Spirit of God that was poured out upon him without measure. Finally, the apostles compare us to a bride. The bride of the Messiah, sanctified by him, which means to be set aside for him, cleansed by the washing of water with the word, which corresponds to the immersion before the wedding ceremony. This is Shavuot language in that the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai is compared to a betrothal and to a wedding. Israel is the bride. Mount Sinai is the chuppah. God is the bridegroom. The Torah is the ketubah. Shavuot is the wedding anniversary. Individually, we are not brides, nor can any one of us be described as the Apostle Paul describes the bride of Messiah. In splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. But together, we are more than individuals, and together, We are more than our individual failings, sins, and blemishes. Together, we combine into this sacred metaphysical union of souls to become the bride of the Messiah, for whom he gave himself up that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present her to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Together we are much more than we are alone. In this respect, there is neither male nor female, Jew nor Gentile, rich nor poor. Each member of the bride is beautiful. In these analogies, you might think that you are losing your individuality as if you are being assimilated into the Borg collective, but it's just the opposite. The meaning is that you, the real you, exactly as God made you, with your particular strengths and weaknesses, your particular personality that makes you uniquely the person that you are exactly what the community needs, exactly what God needs. You don't need to be someone else or something else. You are already perfect in Messiah. Of course, we all need to repent and improve ourselves. That's the name of the game. But within the community of Messiah, you are already a sheep in the flock, a part of the body, a living stone in the temple, a member of the beautiful, spotless bride. You might look at yourself and say, I'm too short, I'm too tall, I'm too skinny, I'm too fat, I'm too stupid, I'm too sinful, I'm useless, I don't belong, I don't have a place, I don't have a role, etc. But none of that is true at all. According to the teachings of the apostles and all that befell us on the festival of Shavuot, you, just as you are exactly right. God did not make a mistake when he made you. He made you because we need you and he needs you. Our Torah portion speaks about the census of Israel and the arrangement of the tribal camps around the sanctuary. It makes distinctions. Only the males of a certain age are numbered for the census because they are being numbered for the army. They are to go to war. The Levites are numbered separately, and the firstborns of Israel are numbered separately, the one to redeem the other. The Levites encamp around the tabernacle, and the tribes encamp around the Levites, and each tribe has its own identity, its own encampment, its own banner, and its own marching order, but they are altogether the hosts of Hashem, the B'nai Yisrael, the people of God, from the least to the greatest, sons and daughters, servants and maidservants, old men and women, the flock of Hashem. And we too are the flock of the Good Shepherd, the spiritual sanctuary, the body of Yeshua, the bride of Messiah. The virus that prevents us from gathering this Shavuot to celebrate these truths and to sing the Hallel and to hear the Ten Commandments, the virus that prevents us from gathering this Shavuot to celebrate these truths and to sing the Hallel and to hear the Ten Commandments does not diminish that at all. One flock, one building, one body, one bride, bound together by the tethers of mutual love for one another, just as he has loved us first. Psalm 74:8-9. They burned all the meeting places of God in the land. We do not see our signs. There is no longer any prophet. There is none among us who knows how long. But on the day of Shavuot, the words of the prophet Joel were fulfilled. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Let's keep Shavuot on the map this year. Chag Sameach and Hoshana to the Son of David. Take on my yoke and learn from me and find rest for your soul.